AP Radio News. I'm Tim McGuire, the father of James Bulmer, the Dallas area man linked to yesterday morning's attack on the city's police headquarters, says his son snapped when his police record kept him from finding work.
Because he had, quote, family violence on his record, he couldn't find a job. He had sold his tools. He was a mechanic. He had sold his house. And he lost his son.
The younger Bulwer was in his armored van when he was shot and killed by a police sniper during a standoff in a parking lot in a Dallas suburb. Four people are dead in a shooting at a Columbus, Ohio home. An injured teenage girl found outside that home yesterday. Police Sergeant David Sicilian tells the Columbus Dispatch.
We obviously have a homicidal suspect out here who's not afraid to kill somebody. So we need to quickly find out who that is or who those persons are who are responsible for this.
Police have not identified the victims. Hurricane Carlos is spinning in place. The center about 80 miles off Mexico's west coast, south-southwest of Acapulco. Hurricane specialist John Cangelosi says the storm is a rainmaker.
6 to 10 inches and even isolated pockets of up to 15 inches are possible.
A senator expects the U.S. to reopen its embassy soon in Cuba.
Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona says nothing has been set about the opening of a U.S. embassy in Cuba for the first time in 54 years, but he says it's imminent. Those were his thoughts after a meeting with a Cuban official and others in Havana. He was in Cuba with fellow senators Susan Collins of Maine and Pat Roberts of Kansas on a fact-finding mission. Speaking with the Associated Press before returning to Washington, he predicted the opening of a Cuban embassy in Washington and a U.S. embassy in Havana will happen in the very near future. He said lawmakers are very excited about the prospect of full diplomatic relations.
That's the AP's Carlotta Bradley. This is AP Radio News. Months after announcing her presidential candidacy, Hillary Rodham Clinton holds her first campaign rally on Roosevelt Island in New York. Supporter Linda T. says she likes Clinton's low-key approach to the campaign.
It wasn't like, you know, exciting speech, but I think that's what I like about her is that she's not like superficial glamour stuff, like she's the real deal.
Later today, Clinton meets with supporters and gives a speech in Des Moines, Iowa. Challenger Bernie Sanders also campaigning in Iowa, blasting income inequality.
99% of all new income is going to the top 1%. There is something profoundly wrong.
Sanders and fellow Democratic contender, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, criticizing Clinton for staying silent about the Pacific Rim trade deal, which is opposed by organized labor and others. I'm Tim McGuire, AP Radio News.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio. In this hour, you'll hear directly from our region's finest business leaders. Through each of the interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, about leadership styles and opportunities that lie ahead. Prepare to be inspired and entertained and to hear wisdom unheard elsewhere. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of Opti4. This is your host, Peter Schwartz. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Justin Lang with Cressa, Joe Applebaum with Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan with Verisolv, Mark Cohen and Tanya Blakely with Opti4. And we have a great lineup of guests on our show today, including Bo Kimbrough, who's the CEO and founder of SkyPoint Decisions, Boris Nijatsky, who's the president of ENSCO, Scott Stewart, the founding and managing partner of Capital Senior Housing, and Vishal Dadu, who is the president of Digital Spec. First up is Bo Kimbrough, who's the CEO and founder of a company called SkyPoint Decisions. Tell us a little bit about SkyPoint, Bo.
Sure, thank you. SkyPoint is responsible for secure remote access and cloud-based systems to assist the federal civilian agencies communicate securely around the world to support missions.
So give us an example of where that actually is.
Sure.
in the marketplace.
So as an example, we developed, deployed, and currently support the largest remote access system in the Department of State, supporting 260 embassies and all the supporting agencies around the world.
And what makes this your work so important?
Well, think about communication in times of disaster or mission criticality. They need a way to communicate securely to assets around the world, and that's what we do.
And you specialize in securing the actual communication itself?
We built the entire system. So we secure the front end, whether it's a mobile device or a laptop, the internet, optimization of the internet access in the transmission of data, and then the back end. We build the entire back end systems through virtualization systems, et cetera.
Yeah, and I understand you started the company in 2009, right in the middle of a recession. So what were you thinking?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it was actually a good time because there wasn't a lot of people entering the market at that time. But I put together a white paper, marrying Recovery Act money at the time to the need for this system. And it just worked out, turned into a task order, and we won.
Yeah, how'd you get the idea for the business?
Well, I was actually involved in the previous remote access solution in 2004, which was a local system, and the system was being stretched far beyond what it was meant to be able to do.
So this isn't your first company that you started?
No, it's my second. I was a partner in a company called True North Solutions, started back in 2000.
What is it about starting companies that's so appealing to you?
You know, I didn't think it would be for a long, long time. So I left EDS to help start True North, and from that point, there was just no looking back.
Well, what's the big difference? I mean, you've been in both worlds, stable company, entrepreneur. What's
The reward is certainly worth the risk, but more importantly, it's what you can actually affect and touch and move. So you can learn so much more having 50 responsibilities as opposed to two or three in a large company.
Yeah, where are you from?
Fairfax, Virginia.
What was life in Fairfax, Virginia? Tell us about
your
notable
slow.
Child
moment. Sundays, I mean, there was a gas station and a 7-Eleven open, and that was it. Holidays
in Fairfax, Virginia.
Fairfax City. There was,
oh, no
that was
kidding.
It. Yeah, so it was a very different world than it is.
What do you remember most about being a youngster?
I guess it was just easy, you know. It was easy. It was close. It was a small community. It was very nice.
What were Mom and Dad doing growing up?
Dad worked in banks, you know, throughout my childhood. Mom was taking care of the home.
And how would you say you were influenced by Mom and Dad?
I learned how to squeeze pennies as tightly as I possibly could, and manage financials in a way that carried with me to today.
Well, in fact, you grew up in less than optimal circumstances, and you made some key decisions way back then. What were they?
You know, at the time, I had to buy my own groceries and buy my own clothes, and I had a job.
How old were you then?
Sixth grade.
So looking back on it, what was it like for a sixth grader to have to take on that kind of responsibility?
It wasn't even a question. You just knew you had to do it, and you just go.
So now that you've had to do that, how's that shaped who you are today?
Well, I made decisions back then that although I'm happy that I ended up the way I did because of the circumstances, I did not want my family to go through that. So I made decisions back then to make changes at that point to not allow that to happen to my family.
Bo, talking about going back to your childhood, you told us that you were nicknamed Sock Drawer.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was a surprise one day. Somebody called me Sock Drawer. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I looked in your sock drawer and all your socks are lined up very nicely and neatly. So I was just very organized in everything that I did. My room was always clean, et cetera.
And that name stuck?
I hear it once in a while, and I'm sure I'm going to hear it more now. So,
so how has that affected you growing up, though, that being organized? How has that contributed to your success?
You know, I've always had this weird capability to look at a large puzzle, all the pieces on the ground, and be able to sequence and line things up. So that level of organization has just come into play many, many times. I quickly sequence things.
But what advice would you give for a potential listener that's debating about going into business for themselves versus staying a straight and narrow and continuing to work a 9-to-5 job?
You know, from my perspective, there's no question. I would always encourage anybody, if you have an opportunity to work for yourself, you know, without question. Otherwise, you're at the mercy of somebody else's whims.
What was the hardest part about starting a business?
Making the decision to go. Because I was working at a job that was paying me comfortably, and for the first time after college and everything, I was set. So I thought, so jumping out of that perfectly good airplane was a very hard decision.
How long did it take you to actually make the decision? Did you go for months, or did you just decide to do it?
Well, conceptually it was easy, but then the decision moment came, and I actually bailed on it, and then through conversations over a couple of hours on the phone on the front lawn of my current employer, I changed my mind. But so jumping was very difficult.
So do you have a partner in the business?
Today I do not. Today it's just me.
Just you.
Mm-hmm.
So you've also experienced a pretty bad car accident along the way. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I was a junior in college and getting a test ride in a new car with a friend. I was a passenger at 10 o'clock in the morning on July 5th, 10:20 a.m. And we had an accident, and I broke my spine in 7 places and ended up in Fairfax Hospital for the entire summer.
So that had to be quite a moment for you.
From what I remember, but the aftermath was the most valuable.
So tell us about the aftermath.
You're laying there and you're thinking about things, and you have an opportunity even at a young age to say, hey, look, I'm going down a path that may not make much sense or is not going to get me where I want to go. So you just start making different decisions at that point.
Bo, do you have any children?
I have three.
Three children.
Yeah.
How has being a father influenced you as far as being a leader?
Well, it's very important because, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you know, that can take your entire life if you let it, you know, Monday through Sunday. So even if you're at a soccer game or a football game, you're not really there. So it's been important to me to make sure that there's harmony and balance in how I spend my time with my family and in my business, to make sure that I'm giving attention where it's needed, because I didn't have that support. So I want to make sure that my family does.
So somebody with your life circumstances could have gotten bitter and just given up and kind of not done much with their life except complain a lot.
Oh, I've been there too. So, but in the end, that's a thought that you have to check, put it away, and get back to work.
Well, so did you actually have that kind of crossroads where you decided to get better or bitter, and you decided better was a better route
for
me?
Sure. As I said earlier, I was following the crowd instead of making my own path. And because of certain things that had happened, I said, you know, that's it. I'm going a different path.
Other than your mom, what were other some important business influencers or mentors along the way?
You know what it was? It wasn't necessarily people. It was just the fact that I had to bootstrap things without knowledge, without experience. You had to figure it out.
So your mentorship actually came from the experiences that you went through?
Correct. Right.
Okay. And what type of advice would you give to a young adult or a child that's dealing with a broken home situation like you did?
You know, what I would say is, for me, when I was there, it felt that there was no other world outside of that world, and I was able to break through that. So I would say to somebody else, you know, you have to look beyond your current circumstances, even at a young age. As complicated as that sounds, it's not that hard. There's great people just right next to you. You just have to find them.
Yeah. What, up till now, what would you say your proudest accomplishment is?
I would say my the birth of my third child. All three of them, first of all, because if they hear this, they're going to kill me for saying that. But my third child was born at 25 weeks, so she was a 1-pound preemie in Fairfax, in the area. And she is now just a 9-year-old amazing kid with nothing wrong. I saw her in a play this morning playing guitar. She's just amazing. So she's my gift.
How about the toughest thing you've ever accomplished?
Toughest thing. You know what? I have to say this business, because the last time I had three partners, this one I'm on my own. And that's a very different game when you're on your own.
Yeah. Where do you want to be 5 years from now?
Not in this business.
So a successful exit? Or
I started this company to sell it. So I want to create tremendous value. So the employees and the customers and the missions that we're supporting that are there will be well supported when I'm not.
So if I was interviewing your mom, what would she say about your success?
That it's because of the drive. I get up early. I go to bed late, and like everybody else in the area, and there's no quit in me. There's no stopping.
And I know you referenced her as an important resource in your life. If she was sitting here today, what would you say to her?
I love you, Mom. You drive me crazy, but I love you.
What's the website address, Bo?
www.skypoint.com, SKYEpoint.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Bo Kimbrough, who's the CEO and founder of SkyPoint Decision. This is Peter Schwartz, your host. Don't forget to visit our website, Executive Leaders Radio, for more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this business spotlight.
This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your business spotlight. Joining us today is Randy Tharp, director of the 5-9 Group. Welcome, Randy. Randy, what is the 5-9 Group?
The 5-9 Group is an IT services company here in D.C., and we provide application solutions, DevOps, and program management for the federal government.
Mm-hmm. And what's your role in the company?
I'm the director of business development.
So that means what?
So that means I'm the guy responsible for gaining new business.
Mm-hmm. And so what is it that makes the organization special in your view?
Well, the company was created out of the role that they play. It's called 5-9, so 99.999% availability is what our goal is, to serve our customers.
And what do they appreciate about you guys?
They appreciate that we can actually deliver that.
Mm-hmm. And who is the perfect client in your mind?
The perfect client is one who understands that we are one of the leaders, and we're the innovators behind them, and they hired us for a reason, and they let us do our jobs.
And what is it about the work that you enjoy most?
Well, the work we enjoy the most is because it's on high availability critical systems for the federal government. For example, DHS or Census Bureau, managing these databases are very important to the taxpayers and to America, so we take that very serious.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say that the clients get from all this work? Where's the value in it for them?
The value is being able to count on an industry leader, on a contractor like us, to get the job done and be available 24/7 to keep things going for them and bring solutions that matter.
That's great. And you got a website?
We do. It's www.59group.com.
Thanks, Randy. We've been speaking with Randy Tharp, Director, 5-9 Group. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. You can hear the show again at businesstalkradio.net.
This is Peter Schwartz with Vistage, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining us for this segment is Michael Gordon with a company called Accelerant. Tell us a little bit about Accelerant, Michael.
Hi, Peter. Accelerant is a business development platform designed to serve companies that do business in the middle market, business-to-business community, and typically our clients, they struggle to get to decision makers, but once they get there, they do really well, and what we do is we help them reach decision makers faster and warmer than they're doing on their own.
So this is kind of like networking on steroids?
It is and it isn't, and I say that because when you hear the word networking, I think people perceive a big room of people with name tags and business cards. And this is a relationship-building environment where partners come together to build trust, and with that trust come introductions.
And you handle the Washington and Baltimore market, correct?
I do.
And what do you like most about your role?
I think what I love the most about what we do is we can only have one company per industry as part of the organization, and as such, it behooves me to find the best fit for the group and not who's the first one I can get to say yes. And because of that, we really get to pick who we work with. And I'm surrounded daily by entrepreneurs who love what they do. They're passionate about life and about business, and it's infectious. And that's what I love.
If someone wanted to learn more about Accelerant, they should contact you?
Yes, please.
How?
Call me directly on my cell phone, 610- 945-6303.
And the website?
It's accelerant.com, and that's ACCELERENT.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Michael Gordon from Accelerant. This is Peter Schwartz, and that was your Business Spotlight. We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of Optifor. This is Peter Schwartz, your host, and for this segment, we have Boris Nijakovsky, who's the president of a company called Ensco. What is Ensco, Boris?
Ensco develops and applies advanced technologies to support critical missions in airspace, transportation, and national security.
Give us an example of what that actually means.
I want to give you two. One is we provide range safety at Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral, for example. We support range safety. Another is we develop technologies to help ensure railroad track safety, to inspect tracks.
So you provide the technology that allows for that to happen?
Yes.
How old's the company?
It's more than 45 years old.
45 years old. And how bigger in terms of size?
It's currently 550 people.
And you're the president?
Correct.
Have you always been the president?
No. I was appointed less than a year ago.
Less than a year ago. What were you doing prior to that?
Before, I started as a company as a senior engineer.
How long ago?
23 years ago.
23 years ago. And then you became president last year.
Yes.
Congratulations. How's it going?
Interesting.
What surprised you most the day you became president?
That my job, it shouldn't be a surprise, but I realized how much my job now is managing people rather than dealing with everything else.
So less technology, more relationship?
Yes.
What have you done along the way that prepared you to handle this role?
I grew through the ranks with the company, so I did have management roles growing through technology chain.
Where'd you learn how to do the relationship thing?
It came from my mother. She was very emotionally intelligent, uh-huh. And she really understood people.
So that's a word we hear bandied around a lot. Give us an example of what emotional intelligence is and why is that so important to leadership?
For me, I think I can understand the not only what people tell me, but also what they feel and what their drives are. And I think it's very important. And another part of this is that I just have great respect for people with whom I work.
So it's important to know people beyond what they're thinking. It's important to know them, what they're feeling.
Yes, I think so.
Uh-huh. When did that, and you got that from your mom, or did you kind of discover that along the way while you're working at this company?
Both.
Both. Where are you from, Boris?
From Russia.
When did you come to this country?
In December 1991, just after the wall fell.
So tell us about that moment in time in history and why that's so important to you.
It was a big decision. It was like jumping into the water or jumping from a plane.
So the wall fell down and you thought, oh my God, here's my chance, I'm going to go to the United States?
Yes.
Why the United States?
Well, it's a land of opportunities, and also I had relatives here, so I had...
So I'm sure you had this preconceived notion of what the United States was all about, and when you got here, then what did you find?
It was a lot of surprises. There are a lot of stereotypes about U.S., and one of the biggest surprises for me was how balanced and strong everything was. Press, public, police, laws, everything seems to strong and be in constant sort of balance and struggle.
How did your hardships growing up in Russia shape your motivation and drive as a business leader?
I always, when I worked in Russia and when I grew in Russia, I always knew that I would never make a lot of money. And so you start developing other sort of incentives. So I always was about achieving something, doing something. So I divide people into doers and not doers. So I wanted to be a doer.
So you got that character trait in Russia?
Yes.
And it wasn't money motivated. So
correct.
If it wasn't money motivated, what's the point?
You want to achieve something.
Why?
I don't know. To me, that was the driver. I wanted to I wanted to build something.
Achievement for the sake of achievement, just the joy of having created something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. When did you first? What's the earliest thing that you can say you created or achieved?
It was my first job as an engineer back in Russia when I developed a measurement instrument and people started using it. That gave me tremendous satisfaction.
Go ahead.
If you had it to do all over again, your move, your decision to come to the United States and everything, would you do the same thing the way that you did it, or would you change things and do some things differently?
I would try to come earlier. I was 37 when I came.
You mentioned that when you were in Russia, you were working at a company, and it was very similar to working here. Can you tell us more about that?
It was a research lab, governmental research lab, and I found it surprising that a lot of relationships between people and motivations are very similar.
So you think it's the same all around the world?
I would guess. The main difference was that I think in general here people are more oriented on the result. That kind of was a difference, but in general, yes.
So what was the hardest part? You get off the plane, you come into the United States. What do you remember is the hardest thing you had to get through?
Doing some day-to-day things. Understanding.
Like what?
I don't know. Understanding how to take a public transportation. I didn't have a car, and how to look for a job, how to do things that you do every day.
What do you most appreciate about Russia?
At the personal level, there are great relationships and friendships and of course culture.
What about the culture?
Well, you all know about great, you know, literature and,
right.
and ballet and all of that. So
were you influenced by that as a
yes.
youngster?
Mm-hmm.
And so, in what way were you influenced?
Of course, me being a technology kind of or technical oriented guy, I liked science fiction and all of that. But I also like, yeah, even here, I go to ballet once in a while.
Yeah, good for you.
Have you been able to influence your daughter with Russian culture?
A little, but now she's mostly out of it.
Where do you want the company to be in 5 years, 10 years from now?
It is a technology company. I wanted to grow as a technology company that advances the state of the art and makes the world a safer place.
What would you like to be known for as the leader of this business?
That I succeeded in this goal.
And what's the website address, Boris?
It's www.enska.com.
One more time.
www.enska.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Boris Nijakovsky, who's the president of a company called Ensco. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Justin Lang with Caressa, Joe Applebaum with Potomac, Katie Jordan with Verisov, Mark Cohen and Tanya Blakely with Optifor. This is Peter Schwartz, your host. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
One help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors at executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors at executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors at executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors at executiveleadersradio.com.
This is Peter Schwartz with Vistage, and this is your Business Spotlight. And for this segment, we have Jim Mazotis, who's with a company called Intelligent ID and Convergence. What is that, Jim?
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Our software actually addresses the insider threat that has been plaguing
most companies for the probably the past decade. And what that is what you have an insider that might seek to do damage to the organization, be it through reputation, but certainly causing some material loss.
So you've developed some software that can actually detect that kind of an intrusion?
It can.
And then what?
Well, it's actually preemptive. It will be very, very proactive, so that we watch every mouse and keystroke. We will literally scan every document that's read in every website, and we will look for the presence of malfeasance or somebody that's actually non-malicious but seeking to damage the company.
And you're the chief security officer. What does that entail?
So I'm responsible for, of course, the overall security of the application as it's pushed out the cloud and as it's pushed out to our users who actually deploy it internally.
What do you like most about your job?
It's always changing. The landscape, the threatscape is always changing. In fact, the attack surfaces are just, we're still detecting them as they go. So it's a very interesting time in the 21st century.
Yeah. How can somebody find out more about the company?
Well, they can certainly visit our website at www.intelligentid.com or convergencetechconsulting.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Jim Mazotis, who's with Intelligent ID and Convergence. This is Peter Schwartz with Vistage, and that has been your Business Spotlight. This is Peter Schwartz with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining me for this segment is Doug Kay, who is a principal with a firm called Offutt Kerman. What is Offutt Kerman, Doug?
Offutt Kerman is a full-service law firm in the Mid-Atlantic region with offices from Philadelphia all the way down to Tysons Corner, Virginia, where I work.
Right. And you're a lawyer with the firm?
I'm a lawyer with the firm.
What practice area do you specialize in?
I mostly do work in commercial litigation, although I also do work with in doing criminal defense and personal injury, anything that gets me to trial.
Anything that gets you to trial. Well, why do your customers appreciate you?
I think they appreciate me because I am a careful and sympathetic listener, and I try to offer concrete solutions to their most vexing legal problems.
Well, give us an example. Do you have, without mentioning specifics, a recent example of where you were really good at this? How about your favorite client up till now, without getting into two particulars there?
Well, I represented a fellow who was in a commercial lease, and the landlord was determined to make him pay more than he should have been paying, and we had to go to court, and we had to go all the way through trial, and the client really appreciated the effort, and we got an excellent result for the client, and that was very satisfying. And since then, he's been talking me up all over town, so I can't thank him enough.
Yeah. What's the best part of practicing law for you?
I would say that it is taking people through difficult circumstances when they think they don't have any options and trying to find a good solution for them.
Right. What's the website address for the law firm?
www.offuttkerman.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Doug Kay, who's the principal with Offutt Kerman. This is Peter Schwartz, and that was your Business Spotlight. We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of Optifor. This is your host, Peter Schwartz, and for this segment, we have Scott Stewart, who's the founder and managing partner of a company called Capital Seniors Housing. Tell us a little bit about Capital Seniors Housing, Scott.
Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show, Peter. Capital Seniors Housing is a boutique private equity firm that acquires and builds seniors housing properties.
When was the company founded?
We founded in 2003.
And how big or small would you characterize it today?
We have $1.5 billion of assets over time, currently 60 assets and 11 employees.
So for someone listening in that isn't entirely familiar with the notion of private equity, how would you characterize it?
Private equity, the mantra for private equity is to buy it, fix it, sell it. And we do that here with our company.
And what makes that such an important function in this country?
Well, there's a lot of companies out there that either have something wrong with it. They're either broke or half broke, and private equity comes in and sees the potential within a company or a property, in my case, commercial office real estate, and buys it and then does what it takes to fix the operations, fix the outside, the interior, CapEx type of things.
So it's more than just an infusion of cash. You guys actually get in and help with the operations?
Yes. In our case, we operate off of something very similar to the Marriott model. If you, everybody stayed at a Marriott before, and you would think that Marriott owns the sticks and the bricks that constitutes the hotel. That's really not the case. They are the operator, so they put their sign up on the front and they're stamp their name on the napkins and such and operate the business. We do something very similar, where we buy the sticks and the bricks, and then we hire the operator to manage the property.
And what is it about this that you find so fascinating?
Well, I like real estate. Made the decision to get into real estate after graduate school. The main reason for that is because it's something that's very tangible. It's got a start and a finish. You can own it for a period of time. The business itself is great. It gets you out of your office, out from behind a desk. You can see the world. And the big thing about it is, from a business standpoint, you're not subjugated to just a salary and a bonus subjective. You can actually tie your long-term net worth and that of the companies to a percentage of the value of assets.
And that's the benefit of private equity to you, as opposed to running Marriott's real estate.
Yeah, that's the benefit of the private equity. That's definitely more the benefit for owning real estate and being in the real estate industry.
When did you discover that real estate was the thing you wanted to park a career at?
After undergraduate, I went to the University of Michigan, and I had a job with the airline industry, Eastern Airlines specifically, God rest its soul. And that was a fantastic experience. We're coming out of college, see the world, meet a lot of great folks. But it was just, I realized that was not what I wanted to do, for the reasons I talked about before. I wanted to match a profession with my personality.
You tell a great story about your first entrepreneurial experience in college. Tell us that.
Yes. In between the school years of college, I'd go out to Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, and painted houses. There was great demand for painters out there, since everything's painted white, clapboard, wood shingle type of properties. And the first summer, me and my friends went out and we joined a painting contractor. A company was called Walker and Anderson. And they would pay us $5 an hour, but they'd bill us out for $20. And I was fine with that. But one of the guys on my painting crew was not. On our way back out to Martha's Vineyard the next season, I remarked that I'm hoping to get our job back with Walker and Anderson. And he said, "We're not going to do that again this year." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "We're going to go into business for ourselves." And you know, I was shaken by the idea of entrepreneurship, the unpredictability of it, the uncertainty of it. And sure enough, we put an ad in the paper, the Vineyard Gazette, and within a day or so, we had the phone ringing off the hook, and we had business going on for the entire summer.
So that's a moment in time. What do you take away from that? You learn two or three lessons, not just the least of which is entrepreneurial risk.
Right, taking the plunge is the hard thing. You learn that, but then you quickly learn the benefits of the math of how things work as an entrepreneur. That summer, we were working maybe one third of the hours that we were at Walker and Anderson, and we were making about three times the amount of revenue as a result.
What else did you learn? I mean, that was one thing, but what else did you learn that shaped the character that you have today?
Well, the other thing you learn is something that I can tie back into with Ronald Reagan, a big idol of mine. He was somebody who would hire good people and let them do their job, and that's what we do at Capital Seniors Housing.
And you learned that way back when?
Learned that taking a paintbrush and swishing it from the left to the right.
What personal characteristics do you use in your role to make yourself successful?
I've got a lot of energy that when it's deployed in the right way, that can be a benefit. I try to get, I tend not to need as much sleep as the next person, and tend to get as much done within a particular day as I can.
So energy is a perishable commodity, though. How do you take care of it?
I just, it's a great question. It's a blessing and a curse, first of all. But I tend to have a lot of it, and what I can't deploy at work, I do. I get rid of doing triathlons and marathons and those kind of things.
You mentioned growing up in Detroit, Michigan. What brought you to Washington, D.C., and what do you find unique about the real estate market in the Washington, D.C. area that you don't see in other parts of the country?
Well, the answer to the first question is the jobs. Growing up in the 70s in Detroit was a pretty gritty experience. You had double-digit unemployment, and you know, I found myself in high school and even before high school competing with grown men for busboy jobs. And so when you get out of college, you head over to the Northeast, and that's where the jobs were. I learned that as well when I was at Martha's Vineyard. Washington, D.C. itself is probably one of the best real estate markets in the entire world. We're blessed with that here. You've got great growth, you know, center of the free world, and you have a lot of densities as well as high income values here.
So what's it like to be a teenager and have to stand in line and compete for the same job an adult man needs to feed his family?
Well, you know, they would win 9 times out of 10, and every once in a while, I ended up getting my first salary job, my first job, when I looked at a paycheck and saw the, and asked somebody, what is this FICA and why are they taking so much money, was flipping pizzas at a Domino's restaurant. And but before then, you know, there were a lot of folks that were, you know, again, grown men going after busboy jobs. We just didn't get those; they were given to the men. And you know, you were fine with that. So you did go around the block and pull weeds from the neighbor's garden instead.
So you learned at a young age that you do what it takes.
Yes.
Would you trade that experience?
No, I think you look back and you're grateful for all sorts of things, you know, your family, your friends, the journey, the village, all that leads up to every brick in the pyramid makes you who you are.
You said your dad was a dentist. Did you ever think of going into that as a career?
You know, I took the answer is yes, and I took a vocational course in high school. It was called dental hygienist, and you literally got on the bus and drove to a neighboring school. It's about 25 miles away, and the first day I show up and I'm the only guy in the class. Everybody back in the 80s, people did that, were all women. I thought it was great, learned a lot about teeth, some of those things I still think about today, but realized that probably was not for me.
So you floss on a daily basis.
Yes, exactly.
You credit your mom for a lot of your success. Say something about her.
She grew up with a single mother, and she you know, she was a real tough woman. She worked for Ford Motor Company. I still drive a Ford to this day as a result. Even though they had to let her go a few times, lay her off, they'd always hire her back, and you know, we would not have made it without the Ford Motor Company. She did what it takes to stay employed. When she would get laid off, she'd take, you know, fill in for other folks. She would work the graveyard shift. I had vivid memories of her leaving at 11 o'clock at night, snowy February night, to drive to River Rouge, which in itself is a pretty gritty area, and do it all without complaint.
Is your mom aware of your success today?
Yeah, she passed last year, actually. I made sure she knew that we were doing all right.
Yeah. What's the website address, Scott?
My website is Capital Seniors Housing. That's Capital with an O, capitalseniorshousing.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Scott Stewart, who's the founder and managing partner of a company called Capital Seniors Housing. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. This is Peter Schwartz, the host. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. This is Peter Schwartz with Vistage, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining me for this segment is Christopher Gettner with a company called Gen3i. What is Gen3i, Chris?
Gen3i is a boutique systems integrator that focuses on the information governance space.
And what specifically do you guys do?
Our real niche is in helping companies deploy advanced technologies like machine intelligence on top of their existing systems to try and get more information, get more value out of the information they have within their enterprise.
So give us an example of what machine intelligence is.
Machine intelligence, there's various technologies out there, and one of our specialties is the ability, we've worked with most of them and deployed them in different situations. So for example, we work with some that do semantic analysis, and it's also known as concept search, to where the technologies can actually understand the difference between when you're referring in a document to Penguin the flightless bird versus Penguin the character in a Batman movie. In doing this, we help either the people that are in responsible for regulatory compliance, or the lawyers, or the people that are doing Freedom of Information Act requests, for example, and to find information.
You're the CTO, Chief Technology Officer?
Yeah, and co-founder.
What do you like most about your job?
What I like most about it is we get to help, one, we get to help people solve problems, and we get to help people solve problems by using some of the most bleeding-edge technology that's out there. And the fun part about it is this space that we're in, we specialize in, you know, where I think everybody wants to, which is the artificial intelligence space, but from a practical standpoint. So it's a lot of fun being able to apply to real situations.
Great. What's the website address, Chris?
It's www.gen3i.com.
Thanks. We've been speaking with Chris Gettner, who is with Gen3i. This is Peter Schwartz, and that was your Business Spotlight.
Here for today's Business Spotlight is Chris Vannetti, Vice President of Contract and Project Staffing Services at Hire Strategy. Chris, what is Hire Strategy?
Hire Strategy is a D.C. Metro-based professional services and staffing firm specializing in information technology placements as well as HR and administrative, sales and marketing, and accounting and finance.
And what do clients love about working with Hire Strategy?
We take an old school approach to staffing. And what I mean by that is, you know, back in the day before social media and email, it was all about people. And we're one of the few and last firms in this marketplace, probably nationwide, that really interviews in person, takes the time to know their candidates, and 100% takes the time to know their clients, their pushes and pulls, the positives and negatives, to make the right match. So it's truly a consultative approach.
Mm-hmm. What do employees love about working for Hire Strategy?
It's definitely our culture. And the employees that work for us, I think they would all to a person say, we believe in leadership, not management. And that's one of our key mottos. And leading people is a definite thing that we like to do, and we like to do it often.
So what does that mean for a new employee? They get to be a leader?
They can get to be a leader, but they're a leader of their own practice, of their own business. We allow them to be entrepreneurial. We allow them to make their own decisions, and we're there to help them along the way, correct them if need be. But motivation and leadership is the one way that we think that people are going to excel with us.
What do you love most about your job?
I love that I get the opportunity to be a leader and to be entrepreneurial and work with a great bunch of people and a great group of executives along with myself. So it's a great place to be.
What's the website?
The website is www.hirestrategy.com.
Thank you for listening to this Business Spotlight.
This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining us today is Jody Ruth, founder and president of Acumetrics. Welcome, Jody. Jody, what is Acumetrics?
Acumetrics is a firm that works with CEOs that are interested in growing their revenues and bottom lines in a scalable, sustainable way.
And what's your role within the company?
I'm the founder and president.
And what is it about the job that you bring that's so unique to you, that special gift, as we say?
That special gift? I enjoy working with the CEOs to have them achieve goals that they thought were impossible.
And what is it about the organization that makes it so special?
We work, our clients say that it's the three P's, our people, our platform, and our processes. Our people are highly qualified, and they're fun to work with. Mm-hmm. Our processes are enabling of reliable and timely financial information, and our platform is scalable.
And who is, or what is, perhaps, the perfect client for you?
Businesses of any size that want reliable, timely financial information.
Mm-hmm. And what do you enjoy most about this work?
I enjoy working with the clients and making a difference. We like to help the CEOs understand their financial information so they can make different choices tomorrow to impact future results of the business.
That's great. What's the website for the company?
www.acumetricsllc.com.
Thank you, Jody.
Thanks, Les.
We've been speaking with Jody Ruth, founder and president of Acumetrics. This is Les Smolin, and that's been your Business Spotlight.
We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio broadcast from the offices of Opti4. This is Peter Schwartz, your host, and then for this segment, we have Vishal Dadu, who's the president of a company called Digital Spec. What is that, Vishal?
Digital Spec is an 8A STB certified firm. It's about providing IT and management consulting services, primarily focused on public sector clients such as OPM, TSA, Customs Border Protection, Commodity Future Trading Commissions.
So give us an example of where your work, we might see your work.
We are currently supporting very mission-focused agencies like Office of Personnel Management, Customs Border Protection, Transport, TSA, Pensions Benefit Guarantee Corporations. Mm-hmm.
And the company was founded in 2005 by your brother?
Yes.
And when did you join the firm?
I joined the firm back in September 2013.
And why?
The primary reason was this is I always had the dream of being an entrepreneur, and this was the perfect opportunity for me to join the company and help expand and provide services to our clients.
So you're in business with your brother?
Yes.
What's that like?
Oh, it's fun. It's a collaboration. There are some moments where we have some challenges, but I think we all work it out. End of the day, it's a happy family.
So how do you manage to work it out?
I think we really are focused on resolving issues in timely fashions, and the CFO of our company is my dad. And he does sometimes facilitate those conversations.
So how wonderful is it to have a trusted resource like that to help you work through some tough problems?
I think there is nothing better than this arrangement. We tried to go before with some other folks, and it was not a great success, so we decided to come back as three of us going into the business.
Yeah, wonderful. What do you like most about being in business for yourself?
It's the freedom, innovations, and agility that we are able to put the services together, solutions for our clients in a very rapid fashion.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't do that in a for-hire position for somebody else?
It was a challenge a lot of times because you have a lot of bureaucracy to go through before it hits to the clients.
Where are you from, Vishal?
I grew up in the northern part of India, in a town called Chandigarh.
When did you come to the United States?
I came into the United States back in December 1991.
Why did you want to come here?
Well, I always had a dream of coming to the United States for pursuing higher education, and we always had heard about land of opportunities, so this was a perfect timing for me.
And you were telling us earlier you always had it in the back of your mind you wanted to start a business.
Always. I grew up in a family where they always discussed about business because my father is a marketing and sales guy.
Well, when you grew up in India, you just said the U.S. was the land of opportunities. You told us something about the opposite in India. Could you explain that about the lack of resources and opportunities there?
Yeah, back in early 90s, I think in India, it was a lack of opportunities, resource constrained, very few opportunities for fresh graduates coming out of engineering schools. So it was to a point where it was hitting to the ceiling.
Well, but it even goes back further. When your father had been telling you something throughout your teenage years, and what was that?
It was going abroad in the United States.
And that there was something bigger and better for you?
I believe so. And I think I realize in all these years I've been here that this was a bright future being coming up here.
So you make the decision to come here, the support of your father to get here. What was the biggest surprise when you get off the plane?
Everything was big, very structured, and there was a lot of enforcement of law, which was a little bit unusual for me coming from India.
Did you find some challenges being Indian and being accepted in this country?
I found some situations where I had to repeat everything twice or three times, and I felt like sometimes people are trying to make fun of my accent. But after a while, I realized it's just how the pronunciation was and how what the local language was.
Yeah. Where did you learn how to run a business?
Yeah, I think it's just in the family. I think it comes from my dad. We were raised in a family where they talk about business every night.
So what's, if you have to do one or two things right to run a business, what are they?
I think I would certainly like to kind of highlight commitment, passion, and driven, and learning, constant learning when you're running your own business.
When you're hiring an employee, how do you know you have somebody in front of you that you want to hire?
Well, I think after being 20-some years in the business, right after initial meeting introductions, my gut tells me this is going to be the right person.
Is there a certain character attribute you're looking for, or a certain energy?
When I interview any potential employees, I'm looking for a hybrid employee who has commitment, family values, and competency, and being diligent. I think during the conversation, I think we do the round table. All those things come to the table.
So character trumps skill every single time, in your opinion?
I'm sorry?
Character trumps skill?
It's a balance. I would say it's a balance between both the things. But we sometimes, I'm ready to give an opportunity to someone who's bright, who may not have 20 years of experience, but he has passion, energy.
All right.
We tend to hire a lot of times those folks.
Yeah.
Michelle, what does success mean to you?
I think success to me is it's beyond your money and power. It's about winning, delivering results, making difference in life and day-to-day life.
How do you do that today?
I think one of the things that goes back to my commitment in our business to the client services. We work hard to help them achieve their goals.
So what's it feel like to do a big task order for one of your customers and get it exactly right? What's that feeling like?
It's kind of like a wow feeling that we have delivered the results and the client is really happy. And this is because being a small, every small achievement is a big achievement for us.
What's your proudest moment up till now, Vishal?
In the last 2 years, we have been able to grow this company by 200%, and our recent win at Department of Education, which is a $14 million win, is a really great achievement for us as a company.
Where do you want to be 5 to 10 years out?
We have been constantly planning our future, and we are looking to grow ourselves into a mid-sized firm supporting the clients.
Yeah. What's the website address?
It's www.digitalspec.net.
Digitalspec.net?
Yep.
Thanks. We've been speaking with Vishal Dadu, who's the president of a company called digitalspec.net. I'd like to thank all of my guests today for the great interviews that we've had, including Bo Kimbrough, who's the CEO and founder of SkyPoint Decisions, Boris Nedzikovsky, who's the president of ENSCO, Scott Stewart, the founder and managing partner of Capital Seniors Housing, and finally Vishal Dadu, who's the president of Digital Spec. Don't forget to visit our website, Executive Leaders Radio, for more about our executive leaders and to hear this show again. You can hear it by tuning into businesstalkradio.net. This is Peter Schwartz, your host. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Executive Leaders Radio, the region's premier radio show highlighting local executive leaders. We hope you've enjoyed the show here on 1500 AM. You can learn more about Executive Leaders Radio by visiting executiveleadersradio.com or tune in next time right here on 1500 AM. That's executiveleadersradio.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFMHD2 Manassas, WTLPFMHD2 Braddock Heights Frederick, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics. Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO.
Federal News Radio's DoD Wednesday. At 3, DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. At 4, in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a smart discussion on the issues and challenges of the defense community. Plus daily DoD updates, mornings and afternoons, Monday through Friday. DoD Wednesday on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast.